Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and friends, part of our wonderful family at Raising Expectations. I'm going to sound a little bit different tonight. I've developed this tremendously deep bass voice that goes way down. So in any event, I'm going to be fine, but it just sounds a little different. If you're not feeling well tonight, we're going to be praying that you feel much better. Things going around, and it's not much fun when it gets a hold of you. So thanks for being with us tonight. We count it an honor. We count it a privilege. We do not take you for granted. We do not take for granted the things you share with us, because they mean a lot. Because when you share things, it tells us that Christ is raising your expectations, and there are things that he's perfectly meeting needs, and you're enthused about things, and that's what matters. God's working in our lives. As you know, we're all people of faith. Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. Actually, the story of Christmas is the greatest gift God ever gave us. He is the greatest gift. We'll talk about that later in a week or two here. But we believe that he was born to pay for our sins. He lived a life understanding us because he became one of us. He died on the cross. He rose again. He's coming again. And we know who we are, where we are, why we are, and we know where we're going. That's something the whole world's trying to figure out. I'm so glad that he's told us so we can live in that. So thanks for being with us again. We want to share, we've got a really good show tonight. We're going to talk about some fun things, all of us. And we're going to go ahead and introduce our leaders to you so you'll get to know them. Again, I'm Pastor Joe. You all know me. And I'm going to start on the West Coast. They're near just north of Santa Barbara and Lompoc, California. We have our friend, Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul is there in Lompoc, and he's looking good, didn't he? There you go, Paul. Yes, looking good. So Paul is he's a retired pastor. He's a teacher. He's a guy that helps people every single turn in the road. He's my friend for 50 years, and all of our friends for the 3 years now, going on forward with this program. And I know that he means an awful lot in your life, too. So he's there in Lompoc. He'll be right with us in a second. He's also the scribe. So when you see him concentrating, he's taking notes. So if you're live, watch what you say.
Yeah.
Maybe end up in the book.
I'll catch you.
Yeah, our hero was that famous author who said, "It's in the book." I forget who that was, but that was back in school. Yeah. Okay. Moving back across the nation, we go all the way to the south. In Dalton, Georgia, south, it's actually the east coast of me, but it is the south. There in Dalton, Georgia, we have Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, Steph and Tank, as we lovingly refer to them as part of our family. Steph is the founder and CCO of Quenching Wells, and she is the world's best when it comes to understanding your health, who you are, how to take care of yourself, what to eat, what not to eat, and how to get on in life. She is a tremendous woman of God. She helps you with what you need to eat and share, but she also helps you in what she posts and shares to get a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the thing that matters. That's what makes her really fantastic, both of those things together. So we love and appreciate her. And on her left, my right, is her husband. There he is. That's Dr. Tank there. And he has this shirt very special for tonight. He'll show you later. I'll let him make a big deal. It's cool. It's really cool. Yeah, we're going to make a shirt like that. It's really good. But Tank is...
Well, I'm obligated. You know, if you're a trauma surgeon, you got to, you know, I'm going to shoot your eye out. So
That's when you came on with that. I saw that. I couldn't believe it. That was absolutely good. Can you all see it? You all remember that movie? That was great.
Christmas Story classic.
Christmas Story classic.
Classic movie.
Little bug, there you.
I liked his little brother too, and they stuffed him in so many coats when he fell over, he couldn't even roll up. Nowhere to go. And that's the movie I learned: never stick your tongue on a wet phone pole, flagpole. That's a good one too. Thanks, Tank. Tank is also not only a surgeon, but he's an author. His book is just out, his first book. It's called Saved. And this book called Saved is doing well. It's really a bestseller. He's got great things in there, finding God in the ordinary. And he just shares his story. You'll love to get a copy of this book. So it's on our website also. And there are other ways you can get that. And you just go there. And there's my book, Legitimate Faith. Producing authentic hope. There's a difference between hope and authentic hope, and that makes a difference in faith because that leads to trust, and trusting makes all the difference in the world. Love you to check into those books, and we appreciate if you'd like to get one. They make a great Christmas present if you'd like to share them with somebody. And if you can't find it on there, give us a call, both of us, and we'll get make sure you get one. Give us a call on the numbers that you have there. And that's on our site at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And it'll be on there and you slide on, you see it a little later and you'll be able to see the books and how you can get a hold there and just get a hold of all of us individually. We, if we're coming back from that direction and we head back east, west, God, I'm not a pilot, Paul. You head back west, you're going to come over to Texas. And when you get to Texas, don't worry if you make a mistake finding it because it's so big by the time you figure it out, you'll still be in Texas. But Texas right there in the middle near Dallas in McKinney is our favorite pastor there, Ron Greer. And Ron should be here pretty quick, I think. We're looking to find him. And he's a great guy. Works with counseling and helping people. He works with Man in the Mirror and helping people in so many ways, especially men, to understand what it means, again, to be a father, to be a husband, to be a leader in whatever work you do so that people look to you. So we really love and appreciate Ron also. So that's kind of our team right there tonight. And we have our guest with us tonight. We have Lane Davis. We had Lane with us a while back, you might remember. Lane is... this always happens. I love it when I get it all set to go. And it says, watch this. There it is. Lane Davis started this great group for Freedom Outreach, which helps men to become leaders for Christ in all areas of their life. And of course, Christmas has a great significance. God gave us the greatest gift of his only begotten son, as we know, to bring salvation to all who receive him by faith. So men today can give love and presence if they walk with Christ in their families in such a wonderful way to lead them and to love them and to encourage and strengthen them. And those kids are looking for us to do just that. So being a man this way and walking with God, it's a great thing to help our children such. Celebrating the birth of the Savior, each member and family can be blessed uniquely through their dad. And this is a great deal. I found a special quote today that I thought was really good. It very simply said, there's the seven essential roles of a dedicated father. Everybody says, yeah, he's the protector, a father's role to protect the embedded in his very being. We know that. He's the provider, the teacher, the mentor, the friend, the emotional anchor, the celebrant. Beyond all those things is how he loves and dedicates himself to his kids and what that means. So we'll be kind of looking at some of those things tonight and sharing. You got to remember, my son said to me once, Dad, father is someone you look up to no matter how tall you grow, because he grew taller than me. But I think your boys did too a little bit, didn't they? If I think about it, Craig, I think
they're coming. They're coming.
One's like right there.
Yeah. Coming on right there. They're going, push, push, everybody going. That's great. So we want to welcome Lane tonight onto the show and let him share a little bit with this. And then we're all going to talk about the things that that men can do within their families. And we may get a visit from Lane. You'll love this, from your friends in our family too. the Sintrons might jump on, and I think she's going to share a word about what will means in their family quickly about how that works out. So let's give the round of applause from left to the right. Wayne, we're going to give you the special one here, Lane.
Round of official applause. Greeting.
It's hard to get that in. Okay, that's about the end of me. Cheer on now. Just kidding. There you go. How are you, my friend? It's good to see you. We're glad you're here.
Doing pretty good. Better than most. Been sick a lot the last 6 weeks. Went to Montana at the end of October and froze. Came back to California sick. Then went to North Carolina and got sick there. But it was all right. You know, we're doing good. So I'm just praying I don't cough during the show today, tonight.
Just go for it, brother. Just go for it. No problem.
So the theme of, I guess, masculinity, fathers, men, Christmas, always want to take, when I talk, so I just got back from North Carolina, spent a week with our third son and his three children in North Carolina. And I always tell my sons that, man, I wish I was half the father then that you are now, because they're so present with their children. They're raising them, you know, in a very loving Christ-centered home. And I shared the first time I was on your show that in 2010, I was 50 years old and I was a broken man. So I got a lot of things wrong with my four sons. When I was rescued by God in 2010, our youngest son was 19. So in their formidable years, I was not a good father for them. We went to church on Sunday, but that was it. You know, by the time I got my Big Mac at McDonald's afterwards, I had forgotten all about it until the next Sunday. So, but anytime I get a chance to talk to guys and talk to them about what authentic masculinity, Christ-like masculinity, I always want to take guys back to the larger story. And I talked about this the first time I was on this show. If I would recommend that everybody read a book by John Eldredge called Epic, The Larger Story, because John Eldredge came out of theater. He owned a theater company. And so he understands theatrics. And so he explained, I had grown up in church my entire life, and I never understood the story that God is telling until I heard John Eldredge talk about Epic and the Larger Story. And he explains, and I think I explained this first time I was on your show, that God is telling a story in four acts. There's act, everybody thinks it starts in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's actually act three. Act one is John 1, where he talks about this heroic fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Movement incarnate. And then chapter 2 is the creation of the angels. And they're powerful. We don't know exactly how many, but they're powerful. In 2 Kings, one angel destroys an entire Assyrian army, 60,000 men. And so these angels are armed and they're dangerous. And so why is that, right? And then there's a rebellion in heaven in Act 2, right? Where Lucifer, Satan, takes a third of the angels and wages war to try and overthrow God. He's not strong enough, so he's hurled to the earth. And that's where Genesis 1 begins. It's actually the beginning of Act 3. In the Hebrew, it says, when God began to create the heavens and the earth. And so, and then in the middle of Act 3, God himself, the author of the story, steps into the story as the main character in the form of baby Jesus. And so that's where we get Christmas, right? That's why we celebrate the coming of a king. But it wasn't a coming of a baby. It was an invasion of the kingdom of darkness. And so God steps into the story as the answer, right? And so growing up in church, until I learned this, I feel like a lot of what we've come to understand in our paradigm of Christmas is not accurate. So it's a little misleading, not in a deceptive way where people are, you know, purposely, but I believe Satan has watered down the message of Christianity to get men in particular to drop their guard. and understand really what's going on. And so if you really want to understand the Christmas story, and what I mean by we're being misled is take any nativity scene. I looked at one right before I came on the show, and it's a drawing and a painting, and there's this backlight on it's like the head of Jesus is glowing, right? And you have all these people in their prayer hands and this reverent posture. And then you have two or three wise men. That's not accurate. The wise men didn't show up until Jesus was 2 years old, right? Or why did Herod kill all the boys 2 years old under? And I read an interesting fact. I think it was in one of Bill O'Reilly's books where historians have estimated what the population of Israel at the time that Herod was king. And they estimate that he killed between 64 and 83 boys. That's how many boys were slaughtered, right? And murdered in that story. So it's not a story of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Again, it's a story of an invasion of a kingdom. You have to go to Revelation 12. And if I can read it, that'd be awesome. So it's basically, there's the woman. The first part begins with the woman, the child, and the dragon, right? The woman, Mary, the child, Jesus, and the dragon, Satan. And then it talks about Satan being thrown out of heaven. And then it talks about the woman being persecuted. But I'm not going to read the whole thing, I guess. But just one part, Genesis 12, Revelation 12, verse 7, it says, a war broke out in heaven. So it started with the coming of Jesus started with a war in heaven, and about Michael and his angels fighting the dragon. And they weren't over, there was no place for him any longer. So the great dragon was cast out and they were hurled to the earth. And then at the end, it said, in verse 16, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood. The dragon basically was vomiting all this stuff that she would drown in his vomit. And it said, and then it finishes, the last verse of Revelation 12 says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went out to make war with the rest of her offspring, and these offspring are those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. So it's like we are under, for Sean, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Peter talks about be on your alert, right? Devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. So again, I think the church has candy-coated the gospel, not maliciously or with evil intent, but what happens is men get this sugar, this candy, candy cane or cotton candy gospel where they're not on their guard. And so Satan says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that, right? But he came to give us life. And so at Christmas, what happens is if your guard is down, the enemy's not going to take Christmas off, right? He doesn't sleep. He's got nothing better to do, right? And so at Christmas time, there's a lot of emotions that come into families because a lot of families are dysfunctional, right? And so what most men do, and I did this before I knew all this stuff, is every family gathering, there was always some type of tension or some type of conflict. Obviously, some families more than others. But I would bust an Adam. I would pull an Adam. So we know in the garden, it says that she took the fruit and she ate it. And then she did what? She gave it to her husband who was next to her. And so what did he do? His fall was passivity. He didn't do anything, right? He knew what God said, but he doesn't do anything. So at Christmas time, what a lot of men do is they check out, right? Even though they'll take their families to church and they'll do a lot of posing that they got it all together, that everything's hunky dory. When on the inside, they're dying inside, they're hopeless, they're depressed. Not everybody, obviously, but I mean, a lot of men, they create this elaborate fig leaf to present to the world that everything's okay, and it's really not. And so if men would learn a little bit about the larger story, and if they would learn a little bit about how recognizing how spiritual warfare works, how the enemy's trying to come in at Christmas into their family gatherings, into their relationships, into their social settings, into conflicts at work and things like that, they could have their guard up and then shut it down by the authority that God has entrusted men with their kingdoms, small k, their households, their responsible, the people that they have influence on or are in charge of at work. And so if you know that the enemy, if you have your guard up and you know that the enemy is going to come to steal, kill, and destroy, especially at a time where he got his rear end kicked in a heavenly battle, they could be, instead of going passive, you start taking initiatives to pray for people, to say, hey, you know what, I see this happening. Can I help you understand this better? You step into your role as protector. You mentioned a lot of qualities of men, and one of them is protector. And I think in this time where a lot of people are despondent and depressed and family tensions arise, that they can step into that and help people, families with reconciliation, help it be a joyful time, help it be a celebratory time that's free of conflict by praying over their household and their property. If you're having the family over, go outside, walk the perimeter of your property and pray that it be covered by the blood of the Lamb and that no foul things of the enemy can penetrate it and disrupt it and just invoke the kingdom of God. They will be done in my domain as it is in heaven.
Yeah. I think as you look at that, I know you need to equip and have all that and grab a hold of that because that's absolutely true. But could it be maybe as a dad looking at different ages, the latest Christian education data will say that if a dad doesn't get to his kids when they're preschool or elementary preschool age, basically, they still got a chance. But if they don't get to their children by the time they're to the third grade or so in elementary school, they're really going to have a tough time drawing them close. And of course, being the protector, like you say, that's where you're going to call on God, like you're saying. I know, like you're saying, the knowledge that God is giving, this is a battle. I am the protector. But how do I take that and turn that around, bring my family together in a loving thing at Christmas where I lovingly share the story? I think the manger scene and all, the way that's been set up and all, I think the Holy Spirit works through this with immature Christians. Our job then is to love them back through. But I don't think we jar them. I think we love them back through it. I've had so many opportunities to talk about that, and I agree with what you're saying. But with a dad, you probably scare the bejeebers out of your kid when he's little if you're not sensitive. You know, Dad, I'm out of here. I'm running. So, you know, you got to – that's the hardest thing. And I think in looking at this, I guess, because that's the frame on the picture. We're with you. I agree that frame. That's true. We're going to be protectors praying for our family until we're done praying. He calls us home. That's true. But as we look at this, and then another thing, we can have a peace inside to love and to do these things, whatever they might be we want to talk about, even though we don't have all the answers yet. That's what I love about being a believer. Like you just said, I don't know all the answers yet, but I know the one who does, and it's written right there. How that all works, I'm not sure. And if I get real dogmatic so I feel good about it, I may miss a few places and may come apart. So I've got to be really loving and careful with people in what I'm saying, particularly my family. Man, in this woke generation we live in today, oh my goodness, we have got cases. I went to pick up a prescription, Lane, today, and thanks to Doc. and the guy said, Don, he couldn't find my name, Don, because it's under Don for medical. And he said, Don, he said, I can't find that. And I said, oh, I hope I'm in there. He said, may I ask, do you spell that D-A-W-N? And I said, no. Let me make this statement. As far as I believe, woke people can all jump off a cliff. Does that make it clear where I stand? And he smiled. He goes, okay, I just needed to ask that. I wasn't sure. Yeah. No, I'm not naming this, that, and the other. That's who we are. But I think at Christmas, thinking back with our kids, and hey, you were pretty honest there. It wasn't always easy when they were little. Hey, none of us None of us did it perfect. I mean, we all made mistakes, but we grew. We grew, and I wanted to hear some of, you wouldn't believe this couple to your right on my screen. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, they're there. Yeah, that, Steph and Tank, they've been through a lot in their lives following the Lord and their families. And some of the things that they have done, I know Paul and I in different things, we drew them close and you equip them, like you were saying. And then when they step out, they're going to get shot to heck. But they're not totally bulletproof. But when they're wounded, they don't bleed out because we've given them enough love and care. And they come back because they want to talk to us and they want to be with us.
Amen.
Thing. That's
hello,
big...
hello, hello.
I heard that.
Yeah, we
I know that voice. I can name that voice in two words.
Yeah. You know who that is, Lane?
Hi. So,
yeah, read it. It'd take three.
Yeah. Told his sisters up.
Hey, Marianne, tell us. Tell us about your
Hi.
Husband. Yeah. Can you hear us? Tell us about your husband, too.
Yeah, we have a little bit of a delay of hearing you and seeing your face on the TV.
Well,
I wanted to share.
Okay.
One of the big things, hi guys. One of the things that really stands out with to me about Will, thinking of him as a father with a young kid, he's going to cry. We lost our son a year ago when Randy was hit on his bicycle from a tragic accident. And I remember Will was so faithful to pick him up from his mom's house, and he would drive 2 to 3 hours commuting in traffic to pick up his son and then bring his son home after the weekend when his ex didn't give him a lot of support. And she would say, you want to be with him? You pick him up and you bring him home. And certainly we moved a little further away, which would have made her drive further, so I get it. But he would commute to let his son know, I want to be with you. And Randy adored his father. And he was the same way with our two other children from our marriage. I mean, he was always involved in the school activities, in their sports. He would go to the mall with Laura when she was just a little toddler and take her up and down the escalator for a date. And then when she actually turned 16 and went on her first date, he modeled for her how a guy should open her door for her, treat her in a restaurant. And he modeled how, what kind of expectations she should have on a date. And he had the father-son talk with Richard when Richard turned 13. And, you know, he just was a model dad. And we had Bible studies in our home, but they were raised with the Lord. So we always sent them to the Christian camps. We made that a priority, taking them to church. And, you know, just spending time with them when they were young kids and, you know, praying with them before bed, playing with them, wrestling with both of them, just having a presence, being present. And now, as they're 30 and 32 years old, they love their dad. You know, they call him for help. Will helped our daughter pick out her Christmas tree and set it up. And, you know, Richie calls on his dad when he needs help with more mechanical stuff and something breaks down. And they just depend on him. And as he treats me with respect and love, they see that modeled. Mm-hmm. And our son Randy would say, I love what you guys have in your marriage. It's what I want. And we would say it's because God is in our marriage. God does this. And we always challenge our kids, let God be in the center of your relationship.
Amen.
So my hero's here through our costumes, too.
Amen. Steph, you have a thought there?
To get to the doorway, she just inflated my head so much.
Yeah, good job, Marianne. You did inflate. But it's, you know, I think it's really nice to have life spoken over you as a spouse, as a parent, because it's not always an easy road, or a grandparent or wherever you're at. I think it's really nice to have those things said to you from someone that you care and love. There was something that you said, Lane, about a lot of men being passive, which is true, right? Women, we care about 800 little details, and thank goodness for the most part, you guys do not. However, there is that time to stand, and we, just as an example, we had a very full house for Thanksgiving, which is pretty typical. And there was a situation that had to be addressed, and I was kind of thinking, how am I going to say this? I know it's not going to come out right. And then I thought, oh, I'll have him do it. And not as a punt, but because I knew his delivery would be so much better. And he was like, no problem. He like goes around the corner. He takes care of it. It's a non-issue. It was a nothing. Like, there's just something that happens sometimes when a man steps into it. There, you guys can remove the emotion. It's very hard for us to do that, even if we tell you that we are. We
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with those awkward conversations. I do need to put a wonderful plug, though, for the for Freedom Outreach and the involvement. We've been in a men's Bible study for the past 11 years, the same mm-hmm. group. And then he's been for Freedom Outreach with Lane for about 10 years, probably. But the maturity that he has developed by being with the men and learning spiritual truth with the men and letting them, you know, to get in the Bible together, and the support he has from the men is remarkable. And that's helped his maturity and growth, I would say even more for our marriage, because as I've been with a lot of women in my Bible studies and studied with women and matured, it's giving him that opportunity to grow and mature as well. So we really are equally yoked.
Amen.
It's been a blessing.
That's great. Tank, you got anything you want to
yeah.
say?
Yeah, no, the 8th grade thing. The American, California, I'll say California's churches segregate the kids. And there's a point, statistically, there's a point, like you said, that if they don't get back in the church with you by, like, middle school, they're not going to come to church when they're out of the house. So, and them seeing you and then being there to listen to sermons and have questions, and the unity of family, which is kind of not there as much anymore, you know, having dinner together, breaking bread and talking. And I think the other thing is just being important or showing your kids how you've relied on God. I use a chair analogy, which I think I've spoken before on the show, but, you know, they need to see you sitting in the chair and how you're using your faith in God to get you through a battle, and then they need to sit in it too. Because then when they go off to school, those liberal kids are going to say that don't sit in that. You're just going to fall, man. You can't do that. And they already know because they've sat in it. That's perfectly steady, and they can. Mm-hmm. So, you know, life's a journey, and they all go different paths and paces, and it's crazy. But yeah, you just pray.
Boy, that is cool. And Will, we love you too, buddy. Yeah, good to hear those things. But hey, something else, man, something else. I think one of my favorite guys, I know him, I don't know, is Huckabee. I just love Huckabee. I think he just cracks me up. Oh, Mike Huckabee. He was in our church once, spoke in Texas, had lunch there with him. And he does stuff. He's saying what we're saying. And he said, you know, I do stuff sometimes with the family. He said, it's not only quirky, but you probably wouldn't even believe it, because after you finish laughing, you don't realize the ties that it put. They get to 8th grade. They want to stay with us in church, like you're saying. And they want to stay close to the family. This, I was going to read this quick thing to you. You won't believe this, from Huckabee. This is how the Huckabees celebrate. This is how the Huckabee family celebrates. Okay, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
One way my family celebrates the Christmas is about Christ and not Claus is by attending a quiet candlelight Christmas Eve service. Afterwards, we continue a long-standing family tradition by going out to enjoy a Chinese dinner. It's a tradition that started 40 years ago by my father, who was battling cancer and had a craving for Chinese food after services. Well, the next year he was still alive, and we continued the tradition. And after several years, we even began joking that we were celebrating the 13th annual Last Christmas Chinese Dinner. After my dad passed in 1996, we still continue the tradition. Christmas Day is spent with a focus on the family. Even with seven grandchildren, it manages to be a pretty quiet day, and it's all about loved ones. Of course, gifts are exchanged. Families shouldn't feel guilty for celebrating under a tree with decorations and sharing the love of Christ together. Who would think of something like that? I mean, that's God gives some unique things to different families. But yeah. I went on to read later that his kids, even now the governor of Arkansas, his wife, his daughter, She still remembers the annual Chinese Christmas dinner afterwards. So your kids remember those. We give them the gospel. We give them leadership. We give them the armor, like Lane's saying. We do all we know how to do to protect. And sometimes you need to give them just a real good, silly laugh and something that they can grow. And they say, I can laugh with my dad. I can get straight. I can get in trouble with my dad. I know a lot of things, but I know that if I need them, he's there. And that's the way you guys are. So that's something else. So I don't think I would eat Chinese food. Hey, Paul, what was the movie? Do you remember the movie they had Chinese food at the end?
It was a Christmas Story. Nick's wearing the shirt.
He's
wearing the shirt. Yeah. The dogs came in and destroyed the turkey, and then Tank got the shirt, and they go to Chinese dinner, and that's rah, 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 and they crack up. It's wonderful. That's one of my favorite parts.
So anytime people see something like that, they think back and they don't think about that. They think, I love my family.
Sure.
And because Christ.
And I have a leg lamp too. It's a special award, you know? So, you know, I got this stuff going on. If I may digress just a little bit, I so appreciate the ministry you have, Lane, and with men and building up and encouraging them along the way. And speaking as one who pastored churches for 50 plus years, and I think Joe would agree with this and jump in. I can't remember a time in my college or seminary education, which collectively would have been 13 years. We never had a class on pastors, take care of your families. Take care of your families. We never had a class like that. All we basically had was you live under the Great Commission, go and tell. And when somebody needs you, doesn't matter what time, if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you get up and go. And I understand those kind of things. But I also remember a time when my little two-year-old grabbed me by the leg as I was going to go out to minister to someone because they needed me. That little two-year-old looked up at me and he said, Daddy, do you have to go this time? Do you have to go this time? Mm-hmm. And so I sort of kicked him off my leg and said, well, I'll be back after everything. You know, I take care of this. And by the time I got home, he was asleep. And those are things that are ingrained deeply into my mind, because looking backwards, which is always a good way to define how we've gotten where we are, looking backwards, I wish, that's not a good word. I have struggled to come to terms with that huge failure. My kids love the Lord, and they're passing that along to their children. I got to baptize my grandson 2 weeks ago, which was an absolute thrill. But looking back on that, now it brings me to a question. In your ministry with men, and you have retreats and different things in churches, it's a two-part question. Number one, how do the men respond to the message that you give them? Okay, and that's an important thing. And then Number two, how do you prepare them for when they go back to their home churches and they may not get the same kind of undergirding support and encouragement to continue the journey that you introduced them to? Is that a clear question? Okay.
Yeah. Ask me that first part again.
Well, the first part is, how do men respond
okay.
to the message that you're giving, you know, these undercover warriors, you know?
Yeah. So let me start with this last camp. The first time I was on your show was July 31st. Okay. Our camp, the last camp that we had, that was the same day we shut down registrations for our men's camp that was on November 30th through December 3rd. So not this past Saturday and Sunday, but 2 weeks ago, Saturday. So we sold out 140 spots 5 months ahead of time. And so when guys come, how do we prepare them? Mm-hmm. It's usually the numbers are 50% returners and 50% first timers. And so the first timers are usually come at the excited, enthusiastic, and passionate invitation of a man that these guys know, and they see the difference in their life because we don't give them. And again, when I say this, people always misinterpret what I say. When we take guys away for 3.5 days, we don't give them a church experience. Okay. What I mean by that is there's no worship bands, you know, with guys in skinny jeans and smoke machines. There's no professional guest speaker that's just going to, you know, tell them how great life could be if they would just do a bunch of behavior modification. And so, again, as I told you before, our whole event is to facilitate an environment where people can have an encounter with God. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. We want them to have a real encounter with God. And we've had guys like me that were in church their whole life, and I never had an encounter with God. I learned about God, right? I had knowledge about God, but he never invaded my life and invaded my heart and changed my heart. In Ezekiel 36:26, God gives the answer, and it's not discipline. It's not more discipline. It's a new heart, right? And you guys were talking about, you know, you do the things with your kids and take them out to, well, that's because you want to and you're cognizant of what your role is as a father. I had no idea what it was. And so one of the ways I went passive is watch football. That's easy to do, right? Just watch football and let the disaster happen around me, and I'll show up at the meal, you know, and maybe barbecue a turkey or something. But so how do we prepare them? When they register, we send them an email, and we kind of start prepping them with watch for this, watch for the discouragement that's going to come in, watch for the hassles that are going to happen at work, watch for, you know, the hassles that are going to happen at home. And just the enemy does not want men to step into their role as image bearers of the Trinity. He wants to diminish them and keep them, you know, they're a man, they show up, they go to work, they provide for the family, but they're not spiritual leaders of their homes. And so how do we prepare them is usually guys have been chirping, the new guys, they're coming again at the excited, passionate invitation of another guy who went and got his heart back and understood the larger story and that God has a place for him that only he can fill. Times are desperate, and you're the guy that God wants to use to step into this battle and fulfill your role. And guys, to get excited about that, right? Because now it's about accomplishment, and you can measure things, and you can fight battles, you can fight spiritual battles and win. Every man wants to be powerful. Every one man wants to know that he can fight difficult battles and win, right? And so when guys come, a lot of times guys that have invited them, I've told them a little bit about it, but when we pray ahead of time, we always ask God for give us opening night, Thursday night after dinner, when guys are coming in and they're checking in at 4 o'clock. And then we go to dinner, and then we have the session that starts at 7:30, finishes at 9 o'clock. We meet the next morning. Okay, What did God tell you? What did you guys experience? What did God telling you? And we felt two extremes, high expectations and deep desperation. Like, guys are like, this is my last shot. A lot of guys coming out of addiction. We had one guy who January 3rd has to check himself in and spend 3 years in state prison. And he came, and so, and he got fired up. He's like, how do I do a Bible study when I get to prison? Right. And how do I do a men's group when I get into prison? And so what we do to prepare them is we kind of give them a heads up to the tactic that the enemy is going to use to get them not to attend, even though they paid and they registered, right? They registered, they paid, and they got it on their date. Just beware of the tactics of the enemy that are going to come against you. So that's how we kind of prepare them. Not a whole lot of, training or anything. It's just basically, and 2 weeks before, we send them a, hey, don't forget your pillow and your blanket and your sleeping bag and your toiletries. And, oh, and by the way, remember, this is going to be opposed, right? There's God wants you there. He wants you there so you can have an encounter with him, but there's an enemy. You have an enemy that doesn't want you there. And so most of the guys are church-going guys, I would say 95%, because when guys register, we always, there's a line in there, what church are you affiliated with? What's your home church? If none, say none. And out of 130, we probably had 7 that said no church affiliation. But they're coming because their brother went, and his life is different. And so now he's going to come. We rarely do an altar call at it. These Christian camps that we rent and facilitate, they always want to know how many decisions for Christ. It's like, I don't know. That's between them, right? It's like, why do we have to keep track, right? We just want guys to experience God, and they'll go home and they'll be different because they have God and they have the Holy Spirit in their life for the first time. Does that make sense? So, and yep. Then the second thing was, I forgot.
How do you sustain it?
How do you?
What's in place to help them sustain it?
Okay, we
got like 2 minutes. If you can, just don't you don't get 2 minutes.
I can't. So we talk opening night about this. It's not going to be a weekend about behavior modification. You should do this. You should do that. You should do this. It's going to be about heart restoration. And so at the end, we have a session that's 45 minutes. It's like, where do you go from here? And in this is, how do you take this back to your wife? How do you take this back to your kids? How do you restore men that you've been estranged from your kids forever? How do you reconnect? How do you take this back to your church? So we do a whole session on that and explain a lot of guys don't have ears to hear and eyes to see. And a lot of times the opposition comes, not all the time, but there's many times where the pharisaical spirit is alive and well in the American church today. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying that they're run by Pharisees. I'm just saying that there's this spirit where, no, we do the programming. People are going to follow what we do, even though what they've been doing for 20 years doesn't work, right? It's so they're and then what we found is that the pastors, the men's pastors and the senior pastors that are receptive to it, they take it back to their church and they're like, this is going to be our men's retreat from now on. We had a men's pastor come 2 weeks ago and he's like, I'm bringing 20 of my leadership team next in March. Other guys, that's another pastor in Pasadena. He's like, this is the men's retreat for the men of our church. So, so we don't, how do you sustain it? It's like when your life gets invaded by, you have a collision with Jesus Christ, how could the direction of your life not be affected? And you go completely different and families see it, men see it, people at work see it. And they're like, I got to go. And not all the time is everybody, it's not a silver bullet that works for, so again, some guys come and they're just trying to escape the mess of the reality that they created. But the guys that come that are expectant and desperate, oh man, God shows up. They have an encounter with God and they leave and they go back, change men. Anger disappears, addictions go, it's passivity out the window. I mean, it's incredible to watch.
Amen. Well, that's all you can pray for. That is fantastic. Lives turned around. That's what it's about. Well, amen. How you doing, Steph and Tank? Good. They're my heroes in the
East. Hey, did Ron join us?
Yeah, good. He's on good. Here.
Yeah.
Hi, Ron.
We have It's 6:52. We have 3 minutes.
What do you want to say?
Okay.
If we could do our...
Can I share one more story?
I had the people share. We need to do a commercial real quick.
Okay.
And then I'll close out with that. With the, how long is your... Let's see.
I can do it in a minute.
60 seconds. Go.
I got this.
You ready?
Go.
4 years ago, a guy, multimillionaire, successful, gets into drugs, hookers, loses his family, loses his business, desperate, comes to Christ at a fairly large church in Southern California, plugs into a men's ministry. He hears about the training camp. Before he came to a camp, he gave his life to Christ and he got baptized at this church. He comes with some guys from his church.
Great.
And hadn't talked to one of his sons in over 3 years. He goes back from camp. He's in Southern California, reconnects with his son in Texas, asks for forgiveness, mails him a letter, a Wild at Heart book. This last camp 2 weeks ago, he flies his son out from Texas to attend a camp, and they attended together. And there's a session where we talk about the father wound, and they were able to personally stand up, embrace each other. The dad asked for forgiveness, and the son give it to him. And just
there
the gospel is a gospel of healing and restoration. Jesus says, I'll come to heal the brokenhearted and set captives free. And that's what we see happen. So
fantastic. Steph?
That was good. That was really good.
That was really good.
Okay. We're so glad that you guys come and hang out with us. You can find out all there is to know about everything about the show, about us, at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And if you do it wrong, it won't work. So that's the backslash. You got to do the forward slash. We love your donations. We appreciate them. You can learn at the top how to do that. We have the donate button. We have the QR code, all the fun things. And we love you reaching out to us, contacting us, staying in the loop with everything that's going on. And you can see TJ's going through the whole gamut there of everything that you can find. And we're on all the major platforms. So you can find us anywhere that you're on the internet. You can find us.
There you go. Amen.
Right.
And here you go. And the books are on there, folks. They're all together. And I think TJ's looking. It's 55. We're going to have to jump. Lane, thanks, brother. Thanks for getting here. And I hope you feel better. You got
Thank
a
you.
Mix. Minneapolis and a North Carolina cold. Those mix. That's not good. I hope you feel
Montana.
Better.
Montana. North Carolina.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Okay. Tank, I hope you're feeling better, brother. I hope you,
yeah.
You'll get it. Thanks for your help today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Steph,
thanks. Thanks for everything, Steph. P2, Paul. I'll tell you the story of that someday, folks, what that means.
See ya.
All right. I'll see you later. Thanks for tuning in tonight. So we appreciate all that you do. Thanks for your prayers. They mean a lot. And we ask God to bless you and all that you're doing. And each and every day along the way. I hope you're staying well. And God bless you, your families, your church, everybody you know. Through you. It's pretty exciting to watch what he can do. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Same time, same station. Right here. Five platforms. Five, yeah. And catch us on a podcast while you drive. It's right there for you to go, yeah. Just keep your eyes on the road. Whatever you do, that's important. All right. We'll see you later. Thanks, TJ. We're set. See you later. Thanks, Lane.
You bet.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.